Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm extremely nervous right now. I'm terrible at public speaking, so I will try to keep my eyes on everyone. But if I have a single focal point, then I'm sorry. I'm not ignoring the rest of you. I'm just very nervous. So that's me. Hi. I'm on the volleyball team. I'm going to move this, actually. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about my August journey. That's what Lisa calls it. So this is basically what my journey was like. That's pretty cool, right? But yeah, that's my August journey right there. And you go to the next slide. Not play it again, but that works. So this is my family. I'll tell you guys a little bit about myself. I grew up in San Juan, Puerto Rico for 17 years. I moved here when I was 17, obviously, and that was like my first time living anywhere besides Puerto Rico. I grew up in a family of four. That's my parents, my dad's flip-flops everywhere, my brother and my mom. My brother isn't in the picture as much, but he's like very much present outside. I could say I grew up in a faith-based home. That's my mother. Thank you, guys. We didn't make an effort to know God outside of my household. Like, we rented Bibles from our Baptist high school, but that was about it. We didn't make an effort to know God or to identify God in any part of our lives. But my mom, you could say she was like the red thread that kept me connected to God. Has anybody heard about the red thread theory? That there's a red thread connecting you with someone you're destined to meet. And my mom was that thread. Every night she would sit down and pray with me and tell me I needed to be grateful and I needed to have faith. And we didn't dive deeper than that. That was like the surface level faith we had. And that's what kept me connected to the idea of God and that someday I would know God. So growing up, I wasn't the most popular. I was like a lanky little girl. Not little, I was the tallest one in my class in third grade. But I didn't have a lot of friends. I was bullied a lot. I had a lot of like conditions. And I was very alone, so I found myself adopting these different personas as I was growing up to fit into everybody's ideal friend. And I always was a people pleaser. I would like lay it all on the line for you, but you wouldn't do anything for me, but I would be okay with it. And it was like all my life has consisted of trying to fit in and trying to belong. And obviously that brings loneliness. Like, where do I belong? Like, who am I? So I felt very inadequate in a lot of aspects of my life. And for the longest time, I was convinced that I was a terrible friend because a lot of people who were very close to me just up and left without an explanation, without anything. They just left. And they would only come back to me when they needed me or when it was most convenient for them. And even then, like, I was the last resort. And I became dependent on that notion that I'm someone's comfort blanket. Like, they're going to come to me when they need me. But when I need them, I can't reach them. And that's, obviously that takes a toll on you because like, who's gonna be there for you? Who's gonna be your person? And I was the person who got the least of everyone while everyone got the best of me. And obviously like, that's sad. Like, you wanna reach out to someone and say like, you're my friend, you got my back. And for the longest time, I didn't have that. And I always ask myself like, why is it like this? Like, why am I so weak? Why am I so dependent? And this all happened because I didn't know who I was, or I didn't know who I was in Christ. And back then, like, my friends would talk to me about God, and I would just feel so intimidated because my faith didn't have a foundation. So it was very fragile, and it could be taken down instantly by any single event. And I didn't understand then that he loved me more than I could ever love myself. And his love for me was rooted deeper than any of my insecurities. And I remember in one of our discussions here, actually, does anybody know Sean, the wrestler? I don't really know his last name. Yep, that one. He said, he will only love you as much as you let him. And that's been a reality for me. Like, all it took for me was to say yes. and to continuously say yes, let in the Holy Spirit in my life and change everything. And I can tell you the month of August was a pretty important month for me, in my growth, in my faith, because I can tell you with certainty that I would not be standing here right now if it wasn't for every single person in this room and my team and obviously everyone who contributed. Whew, I'm not gonna cry, I promise. But that was when Cam talked about the Holy Spirit. September 10th was the date. And he was praying. He said, anybody who needs the Holy Spirit to come into their life, just raise their hand and I will pray for you. And I was sitting on one of those center tables right there. I remember the moment exactly because it's the day I was saved, y'all, and I will never forget it. And after I stood up, I was crying, and Jazz actually held my hands and she said, can I pray for you? I see you're in pain. I see you need God, and I want to pray for you right now. And it was a whole thing. It was 17 people were in my table praying for me, and I just felt so loved then. But I also didn't feel alone. I could point to the spot where God was in my body. I can tell you right now, God is with me and the Holy Spirit is with me. And that was an amazing feeling I will never forget from that day. Sorry. Sorry, I don't want to go out of order. You can actually.
Oh my God, this
yeah. So Lisa showed me this and it's mind blowing. We oftentimes think that we have to perform in order for our faith to look like someone else's and appeal to God and for God to love us. And I'm here to tell you that that's not it at all. And that was a notion in my head for the longest time, but that's truly not it. But let me just talk about what has been the most impactful for me. It's it's so unbelievable that God loves me. I mean, not me specifically, but everyone around is in this room, he loves you. He loves you, Gabby. He loves you, Marta. He loves you, Katie. He loves every single one in this room. Isn't that crazy? That's baffling to me. So many people in this world, and he loves every single person. That's so crazy. Anyway, I don't know about you guys, but that just fills me up. It makes the hairs on my arm stand. Just take a minute. Just close your eyes. Please close your eyes. I'm serious. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And just think that God loves me. Doesn't that just bring so much peace in your heart? And you just keep thinking about it. God loves me. That's so crazy. Anyway, moving on. That's the best news for me. I don't know if it's the best news for everyone, but for me, it's that's the most impactful truth. And following that, I didn't have to earn his love. That's crazy. Stop crying. I didn't have to earn his love. Isn't that crazy too? He gave you that. He wanted you to have that. That's just, Cam, it's insane. That's crazy to me. I didn't have to earn his love. Stepping into my faith, I was convinced that I had to work my butt off to fix my sin and be worthy of God's love. And I'm here to tell you that that ain't it. From this, I can tell you that performance just brings on self-righteousness. And when you start performing for God out of love, then that's not even performance, that's worship.
Period.
Give me some snaps. But going back to that, performing can be exhausting. When you think about it, you're doing, oh my God, I have to go to church, I have to read my Bible, I have to do my devotion, I have to pray every single night. And it can become so exhausting and it's not genuine anymore. And I learned through AIA, through my Sunday groups, my discipleship, and meeting one-on-one with a lot of different people that there was no standard that I needed to meet. Everyone's faith is so unique and worship doesn't have to look the same in every single one of us. Last thing here, and unlike before, I can tell you there's so much peace in my heart. I didn't know that I could ever feel something like this, and it's just so life-changing. But I feel like it's necessary that I say that I still struggle a lot with letting go, and it's not perfect. It's never gonna be perfect, because we live in a society where to have control is more important than to have trust. And consequently, letting go is hard, but that's where faith steps in. We've been talking about this for the last 2 weeks, Now, faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Have faith in God's work in your life. Have faith that every tribulation is preparation for the next phase of your life. Sorry, one moment, I'm getting emotional. Have faith that God's standing right next to you, and as we speak, he's never ever going to leave your side. God loves you. Have faith in that. Thank you.